This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Is going on, one and all. Welcome to WHM Mailbag Live for this, the 29th of March, in the year of our Lord 2022. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm about to be joined by three sexy letter readers. Let's bring them on in here. You know him, you love him. He's incredibly blonde. It's Eric Siska.
Hey, yeah, it's getting blonder, I think.
Yeah, that's the white wisp talking.
I'm also stupid. Like one of the ladies from movies.
What?
Well, you know, that's like a trope, right?
Oh, it's, sure. Yeah.
I'm a fun, dumb blonde.
Got it. You're also wearing a World Inferno t-shirt like that.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our next sexy letter reader. You know him, you love him. He has glasses. This is Steven Sadek.
Keep my cat's name out your motherfucking mouth.
Sorry, I was making fun of Anton earlier today,
dude. Yeah, so you keep it out of your fucking mouth.
Oh my god.
And last but not least, he still looks like he's somewhere making an ISIS video. Chris Cabin.
There he is.
Hello. Okay.
He's got the journalist right underneath the desk. You got the machete now, don't you?
For what? Exactly.
For the ISIS video you're
making. Oh, for the ISIS video I'm making, of course. Yeah. Yes, of course I do. Yeah. Usually you want to show the journalist. That's usually part of the whole thing.
Right.
You don't want to keep them underneath anything. I mean, I don't know what.
Well, I don't know what you're doing. You're molesting someone.
Look, I don't want to take advice from amateur, you know, terrorist video makers. You know, I'm a professional.
That's true.
You don't have to go and be telling me my business here, Eric.
He just said he's a professional terrorist.
I am.
It's like the thing is the three. I mean, look, we all have. You know, we're all just in our own apartments. It's all nice and houses. Some people have houses. It's the three flags that seem very militant, is the thing. And I know that they're not flags, but they look like it.
But you would like to imagine them. Yeah.
Yes,
I understand that.
Okay. Yeah.
That is a Totoro flag. It'd be quite an interesting terrorist video.
Honestly, those people,
dude,
they're the biggest terrorists.
You'd be the sweetest little terrorist, dude. you'd turn into a cuddly little terrorist bus.
But by those people, do you mean large cats, Eric? Or
I mean
children that hang out with them?
Or? Young men and women obsessed with anime.
Oh,
they
I
tend
see.
To probably lead the school shooting Olympics there.
It's true. They all have notes that refer to Totoro and Kiki's Delivery Service.
I think a fun Ghibli movie might be The Littlest Terrorist. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That would exactly. be yeah.
I think that's the name of the one that he's coming out of retirement to make.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like Will Arnett has to do like the dubbing and is like, well, I don't know what's going on with this Littlest Terrorist.
Wow, that sounds good. I'd watch that on video maybe. since Steve, you brought it up with your introduction, I just want to quickly say, you don't have to have an opinion on the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, right? Like
nope,
people,
no.
Yeah. Twitter has been broken for days of just people going on and on about this shit. It's like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't think it's been broken. I think it's been doing exactly what Twitter does. This was just an event that turned it into hyperdrive.
It's wild, man.
So
it's
just has been
utterly
going
wild
at an extra speed for about now, what, 48, maybe even 76 hours.
Eric, have you considered that possibly what if Chris Rock were Betty White and maybe oh, Will God. Smith was a level 12 magician, he could have turned into a pile of sand. How did you feel about that?
They kept making it better because I would love to see Betty White just be bodied, you know?
Come on. We're talking
awesome.
Shit.
The woman is newly dead.
Yeah. If he had done it at her funeral, that'd have been really something.
They should dig her up. Kick her around the stage. There should be more unadulterated violence at award shows. Yeah.
It's fine to have any opinion you want, but also, like, we all got to relax, folks. It'd be cool to relax.
Yeah. You know how I sometimes relax, you guys? Sitting back with a drink, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Reading some letters that the good folks who listen to this show write into us.
Oh, but what, we're, real quick, I'm from the news desk. I've been handed this right here.
This breaking news.
This is breaking news. The president has been told about our tour, which is very exciting.
Can't wait. We're going to laugh in Boston, aren't we?
Yes, we are, Mr. President. Escape Plan, the 2013 motion picture, will be talking about it at Laugh Boston on April 24th, 2022.
Yes. I feel like that movie is kind of like the PCU guys' thesis coming together for us, like Arnold, yeah. Sly. In the same movie.
Is Batista in that, or does he sneak his way into the sequels?
I saw the sequels.
I don't remember. I think if he's in this, he has a very small role.
That sounds right. I saw it in the theater and I couldn't tell you, but I think he's definitely in those sequels.
Yes, he leads the sequels with Stallone.
So I still haven't seen it. I'll be watching it like the day before I go on stage.
It's one of those I've seen it. And by that, I mean, I think I was one Chris Cabin confection away from melting into your couch watching.
Oh, that's always a possibility.
Uh-huh. Yeah, dude, Steve, I think you might want to check your track record there.
Whatever the Hackman Kane movie is in PCU, though, I have to imagine it's better than this movie. This movie is so stupid. You imagine so much like more visceral anger from a movie about an actual escape from prison. But it's more like, yeah, we got that done. Good. Yeah, good. Let's go to the next one. Yes, we succeeded again. Yes, yeah, good.
They're talking
good.
About this, the scenes they're filming.
Yes.
Eric, yes. I think not two days later, it'll be in Washington, D.C.
That's right. On April 26th, 2022, we'll be at the D.C. Improv. Talking what? Talking what?
Stop on my mom will shoot.
Yeah, why didn't we all do that in Arnold and
Bob? I mixed it up.
Literally all three of us, though, did an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression in place of Sly Stallone. I kind of love it.
Hey, better movie. And speaking of maybe not a better movie, April 27th in Philadelphia, we're talking Rocky V at the Punchline Philly. These tickets are on sale now and going fast. You can find them at whmpodcast.com.
And there's like VIP meet and greets. You can meet me and meet this awesome Prowler t-shirt I'm wearing. Oh,
you can meet, yeah. You can meet the shirt. That. You can meet the shirt.
And now you have to bring it. Remember, Steve, you have to bring it now. You have to make sure.
Yes.
And those who are joining us in audio only, big mistake, because Steve was just showing off his t-shirt. You can see that t-shirt on youtube.com/wehatemovies.
Well, you know what we're going to do, actually? We're going to bring that t-shirt on tour, and we're going to have like a little mannequin set up.
Yeah.
And the t-shirt is just going to get to live on the mannequin, you see, because everyone's going to come for the t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
Steve's going to be performing in a different show shirt, but the t-shirt,
yeah,
that gets its own thing.
That'll be at the meet and greet. It have its own little section.
Could the t-shirt sign my shirt, please?
You want the t-shirt to fuck her?
Oh, now that I'd like to see. So those are the dates, gang. I have a feeling, let's see, we had somebody ask something that I wanted to tease a little bit here. Now, let's see. You know, I say this every time, but like, the chat, man, everything just flies so fast in the chat. Here we go. Someone asked this question, and I think I'll just say, stay tuned.
Just might be possible, mother.
Might be happening. Might be happening.
There might be new shitties, ladies and gentlemen. New shitties coming in sometime. I don't know.
We're going to build some cities.
This tour has so many cities.
Oh, do we want to get to some letters, by the way?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, instead I'm going to talk about regime change in Russia. Wait, did I just cause an enormous gap?
We're going to invade Laugh Boston.
Look, I didn't say we were going to push the button on the change. I just said it's probably a good idea. I was talking to me and my good buddy Pepperidge Farm Cookie, my old childhood friend.
You know that whatever his handler was just like, the last thing, please do not say that you want a regime change in Russia. Got it, man. Let's fucking do it. Let's make a fucking speech.
I saw him at a press conference and people were asking like if he wants to correct that because like his administration was walking it back. And he's like, no, I don't care what Putin thinks. And I was like, okay, this is great. I like this now.
I said I want a regime change. That just happens to be my favorite At the Drive-In song. It's just a really good tune. And they were going to get back together, but then Beto, you know, he kind of fucked that thing up. I'll be honest with you. He fucked the whole thing up.
He's like Bones McCoy now.
A little bit, just a little bit.
So letters.
Yeah.
The folks letters. Here. These are mailbag enthusiasts in the chat here in YouTube and Twitch. We're seeing all your comments. Mm-hmm. We know you're mailbag enthusiasts, and we're going to give you one.
Eric Siska, do you want to take it away?
Sure. I haven't read this yet. It looks very enticing. I like the subject line. Grandma's favorite movie about New York boys.
Mm.
Yeah. This is an old lady off a rocker watching a porno movie.
Oh, I love those newsies, those sexy little newsies.
Wait a minute. What are those newsies doing to one another?
Isn't it so cute what the West Side Story boys do to one another? Fighting in the alley and in the salt factories.
They're telling each other headlines. They suck each other's dick saying what news is.
By the way, that bit was an old woman accidentally watching gay pornography.
I think so.
Just to try to
that's where it ended up. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Now, if you're a jet, that means you're a top. And if you're a shark, oh, you'll be a bottom.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bottom of the ocean.
Officer Krupski, I should call him for no reason. Just to make sure they could do something for my neighbors.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. My grandma was a crotchety New Yorker who loved two things in her movies. New York City, baby. And precocious young kids.
Loving precocious young kids in movies. This lady's fucking crazy. Mm,
I think that's like terminal granny brain when you're just like, oh, I've run out of grandchildren. Maybe there's new ones in this magic box.
Yeah, you always want to be Richard Attenborough in Jurassic Park, except for poor, essentially. You just want to have the little two precocious kids around you all the time.
I wish that dude was poor, man. Then we could have avoided all this problem with the fucking dinosaurs.
Nope, couldn't happen.
It was just been the stupid flea circus.
Ooh.
When I was a kid, I used to spend the night over at her place and we'd stay up late watching whatever movies were on TV.
Stay away from channel 314.
I hate that Beverly Hills cop. He's so disrespectful to his captain. It just angers me whenever I see it. Turn it off, that Edith Murphy.
You know, that is the exact situation and why I've never seen the Eddie Murphy film Metro.
Really?
We were at the video store one time and a family friend was babysitting and, you know, she's a much older woman, sort of like a, you know, third grandmother kind of figure to me. And we're renting tapes at the store and I'm like, oh, cool. Metro. It's Eddie Murphy like playing a cop again, but it's not Beverly Hills Cop. So that's interesting. And I'm like, here we go. Like, this is what I'm going to rent. And she looks at it. And it wasn't like a Blockbuster or anything. So like the tape, like the whole case had the poster on it. So you knew what it was. And she looks at it and she was like, Eddie Murphy. Oh, no, the pornography language that this man uses. And just would not let me rent
pornography
Metro.
Language.
You know, dirty mouth.
You know what? You know who said this guy's a bad guy? Bill Cosby. He gave him a talking to, and he said that he's a bad guy. So we're not renting this, okay?
To be fair, you listen to those Eddie Murphy albums now. That's some pornography language I can't fuck with. So maybe Grandma was right.
Yeah, not so great.
Yeah,
man.
Wow.
Anyway,
once when I was. Just making sure I'm at the right spot. That's you know, it. I don't want to lose the thread for the audience who's enwrapped in this story.
Sure.
Once when I was about 11 years old, she told me there was a movie she really liked and she wanted me to see about young boys in New York. Barry Levinson's Sleepers.
Oh my God.
I was generally okay with watching whatever, and I was excited to see an R-rated movie, uncut, on a premium movie channel. Little did I know.
That is an R-rated movie. Yeah.
Dude, R and a half.
I would rate that Kevin Bacon R. Like, put that as a specific kind of R, the Kevin Bacon R.
Yeah.
What do you want? A blowjob.
Oh, man.
Oh, those newsies are talking to each other again.
That line haunts me to this day.
A blowjob.
God, the way he fucking says it, man, it's just burned in my brain. I can't believe this granny.
I got to go back to that one. It's been forever. I think college, maybe I watched it.
You'll get a bad, bad Brad Pitt New York accent.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I forgot he's one of the adults.
Because it's one of those things where, like, everybody was cast, like, we want this movie, anyone to see this movie. So let's get Brad Pitt in there. And he's just like, oh, hey, I'm from New York talking over here.
Yikes. What's worse, though, Steve, his New York accent or that Irish accent?
It's the Irish accent. It's going to be always the Irish accent.
Yeah. He's a leprechaun in that movie. It's Harrison Ford and a leprechaun solving mystery.
We got to the child prison sodomy scene, and I got pretty upset. I protested. I didn't want to watch it anymore. My grandmother, half deaf and almost completely blind, squinting at the TV through a magnifying glass, started shouting at me,
What the hell's wrong with you? I can't hear the movie over your whining.
Oh my God. He's probably trying to give that young man some candy in that closet. Yes. So why don't you shut your mouth?
Back in my day, we did candy rectally and it was fine.
You're whining. I mean, like, clearly
extreme this grandma.
Yeah, go on. Bad I'm grandma. Sorry. I'm pretty shocked. Yeah.
She likely didn't hear or see the scene that set me off. Then she shouted, "You ruined the movie! I don't know what's going on now." She then stormed off to bed. I stayed up to watch Cartoon Network, a little too haunted to sleep. Any of you experienced enforced disturbing viewing at the hands of a relative? Similarly, the day before I went to camp for the first time, I had to switch a page.
Excellent.
My dad showed me Full Metal Jacket and then told me, "You're going to be Pyle at camp." This your father is a piece of work.
You hear me? Did you hear me? You're going to kill yourself at camp. That's what's going to happen.
Beat you with soap tonight.
Bold prediction. The grandmother of Sleeper's fame is the mother of the dad. I think that's how the lineage
probably
works.
Correct. Yep.
Because it's just like, oh, this is how we do it in our family. Better toughen up.
I think that's pretty funny in retrospect, but also what the fuck. Thanks for all the spoofs, goofs, and laughs over the years. Your sharp wit makes the shitty job bearable. Robert, and there's a PS here. Chris, should I read the PS here?
Yeah, go right ahead.
PS, I've been living in London for the past 20 years. Every shot of quote-unquote New York in Marky Mark's Infinite, London, absolutely incredible.
Wow, how about that?
Makes how about sense. That?
Yeah,
I could have sworn Vancouver, but I believe you.
They have a good skyline there, that London. they have a really nice one. And someone cut around like the big, you know,
there's that egg thing, right?
Exactly. But you have to cut around it just so, because they have to believe it's New York, so you can't show the egg.
And they have the egg building because they like breakfast there a lot, right?
That's right, dude. That's exactly
they crack
right.
it up from the top every morning and eat the yolk from up
they
and
pour
top.
Some beans on it.
Yes.
They love beans.
Someone's got another real bad one. This is exactly why you fucking like, if you are planning to ever watch movies with a relative, you got to read up on this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. Oh, man. Hey, yeah. So David, comment again. What happened when she kicked the dildo up the guy's ass?
So David says that he once watched the OG Girl with the Dragon Tattoo with his mother. And
thank you for where that goes. Thank you for translating for the audio onlys out there, Steve. So there was a question here somewhere, right? Oh,
have you ever watched like a very, as an old, a relative, elderly or otherwise, ever forced you to watch something disturbing?
I think it was mostly the other way around. I was like, well, I really want to see this. So I got that one time I watched Dead Alive with my grandmother, and it's not like she wanted it on.
Yes.
But then I eventually turned it off.
Dude, update from David, you guys. She sighed heavily. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm glad you're still alive to tell the tale.
Not going to turn it off or anything, but just going to sigh here.
Well, that's the thing. That's the move, I think. And I mean, look, it's all the what are you watching this and stuff. But it's really like you got to power through the awkward scene. And by power, I mean just like tighten up and just we're all going to get through it.
The thing is my memory, like I was forced to watch stuff that was just like incredibly boring. Like I watched more People's Court than I ever need to because my grandmother really liked it. She really, really liked it. So every time it was on and I was over at their house for some reason, I would sit down with my grandmother and have to watch it with her. And she would do commentary over whether she thought the judge made a good decision or not.
It was pretty normal.
Yeah, it was excruciating. I don't know how people actually watch that stuff.
Ugh. You know, it's kind of funny, like with the passage of time and now being an adult, this isn't a thing anymore. And I wish I should have like appreciated it while it was happening. But like, I remember like sitting at home and my dad just endlessly watching like Westerns on TCM and me just being like, Jesus Christ. Another caravan? Where's this one going? And like now in retrospect, it's like he was probably watching all of these classic movies that like would have been advantageous for me to watch, but I was a little turd kid, you see.
Yeah. Is Jimmy Stewart in charge of this one or Rudolph Mate? Who's doing it this time, Pops?
There was, I mean, it's not a huge story, but like I think this comes with age, is sort of a couple Christmases ago, before the pandemic, I was kind of crashing at my sister's place when my mom was there. And it was just me, my mother, and my wife just sitting up watching Dirty Dancing. We had the wine going. And this is like
really doing it up.
Being 35 plus, just making abortion jokes with your mother and like just trading them back and forth. It was a really special moment. It was a special moment for everybody involved.
It sounds like it, dude.
Did Jerry Orbach help her out too, or?
I don't believe so. I think it was more about the movie, the context of the film.
Okay.
Not like, oh, I remember when you didn't have an older brother. Not like that.
When classic stage actor Jerry Orbach came to my stage.
Steve Sadak, you want to take the next one? This seems like it might be up your alley.
Let's see. The Mud Mishap. I don't like where this is going. Hey, guys. Love the show. I'm a Patreon member, and I've been burning through your catalog. By the way, catalog's going great. We've got some cool stuff coming up on the Patreon, right? We've got, just this week, a Harry Potter mentary coming out. Is it tomorrow, or is it the next day? Is it Thursday?
What the hell's today? Tuesday? It's coming out Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. I'm very excited about the Harry Potter mentality. There it is. Show you as well.
Look at that.
Yes.
I fucking love it. Done, of course, by our good friend Philippe Sobrero. It's Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone mentality, ladies and gentlemen.
And they say that they're about 90% through everything. Now you're going to be less so because you're going to get caught behind on this commentary that's going to drop. And I am writing in because I was listening to a mailbag episode and I heard Steven talking about how he lost his Venom doll to a kid at school. It's an action figure, sir, just to be totally clear.
Oh, yeah.
I play with dolls, man. No.
It's an action figure, you know? It gets into fucking fights, and it's like a dude, man. It's not a doll.
Just calm down. It could be called an action doll. That's fine. Or call it an action doll. Split the difference.
That's Venom. What I call my dildo.
Oh, let there be carnage on my older vagina.
Of course. Yes. And then, all the, you know.
Break me in half, Woody Harrelson.
Oh, man, I watched that movie, but I don't believe I didn't. I don't really recall it.
Stinky City. But and that action figure sucked shit because it was one of those, it had like a plug in the back so you could put Venom through it, kind of a thing.
Oh,
so it was like
dumb.
It was like this big action figure, but like there's a big fat plug in the back where you could put crap through to make it sticky. Anyway,
so he became the action figure became sticky.
Yes, that was the goal, is and to that make a sticky action figure.
Really, you think a kid would just be able to do that on his own?
Dude, you drop that on one carpet, that thing is garbage.
One day I was in the first grade. I'm 37 now. I went out to recess. It had been recently raining in the, oh wow, we're getting a real mood going here. And the playground.
Set it.
It's like a Michael Mann movie. The streets are slick.
There's light jazz in the background.
And the playground equipment is all wet, not suitable for playing on. Now, I was a slightly chubby kid. Now, I swear I'm not reading this. This isn't my story. I was a slightly chubby kid. And I just got bored enough to wander around near the nearest baseball diamond. I was wearing non-lace-up boots at the time. As you might suspect, my boots got stuck in the mud, and I tried to walk. My foot came out of the boot. Oh, that sucks.
Uh-oh.
As I stood there, one leg trying to stood there on one leg trying to pull one boot out of the mud, I perhaps inevitably fell over and got covered in mud.
Oh, fuck.
Am I watching the Newsies again?
That story Alfred tells in that first 89 Batman movie. He's covered in mud like an old sack of potatoes. Man. Are you going? By the way, Master Bruce, is this woman drunk enough to go home? Oh, no, you're going to have full-on sex with her. Great. Here's a Diet Coke.
Hey, Vicky Vale, did my embarrassing story about young Master Bruce get you nice and hot and bothered? That surely was the intention, madam.
Yes, he was. He was a very chubby child, you see, and he was trying to take his muddy boot out of the hole.
Now, you understand, I'm practically his grandfather, but I do work for him, you see.
Well, she's been wettened up, Master Bruce. I'll take my leave.
Oh, he did indeed like the candies, too. Oh, Master Bruce, you're here again.
I got back up and put my boot back on and went back to wandering around the playground area until it was time to go inside. When I got inside the school, I was given a detention slip because the principal had seen me rolling around in the mud.
Look at this fucking idiot school administrator. What a fucking moron.
I tried to state my case, but to no avail. And then that fat fuck principal sent me to detention. I was furious.
If I was him, I'd walk my fat ass into oncoming traffic. Do you remember that in Billy Madison?
Yes. Are you talking about the principal or the child in this case?
Well, I'm talking about the principal in Billy Madison. There's the notes. The children are passing the notes back and forth, and it's like this huge dark thing about how the guy should kill himself.
Oh, that's right.
This just reminded me of it, and this is a movie show, so I'm discussing film.
Many years later, I found out from my father that the principal had talked to him about the incident a little while after it had happened and told my dad, commas, folks, they're super important, had told my dad that when he saw me fall over and struggle to get my boot back on in the mud, he laughed his ass off. This enraged me more, and to this day, I hate that fat man. Do you have any stories about misunderstandings that got you into trouble for in and out of school? Thanks for the awesome work. Hope to attend one of your live shows. Thanks for all that you do. Bob from Nebraska. Now, is Nebraska close to Boston, folks?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Well, because, as the crow flies, man.
Because we're going to be in Boston on April 24th at Laugh Boston, talking about the escape plan. Then we're going to be at Washington, D.C., April 26th, and Philadelphia, April 27th.
Tickets. The truth is, it's drivable. You know?
Oh, yeah.
let's look at words here. It's a drivable length to get from Nebraska to Boston. You can do it.
And come if to you were all a true the shows. Fan,
you would. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fan, well, I mean, sure. I think if you're coming from Nebraska, though, like geographically, D.C. is probably your best bet.
Or just buy tickets and don't show up. That's okay, too.
Yeah, also.
Well, we don't want that. Where's the fucking rush we get from entertaining the
I know,
masses?
But if you're, you know, a super fan in Nebraska, might buy 20 tickets to a live show. That's what I'm thinking.
The question is, do any of you have stories about misunderstandings that got you in trouble for in and or out of school? My question to you, sir, is how much time you got, Bob, from Nebraska?
I remember one thing that sprung to mind. It's a quick story. It's not really that interesting or amusing, but I struggled in math, if you would believe it.
No.
And I had this one teacher. And during class, like when he was handing back homework or whatever, and I got a terrible grade, and I was like, I pointed out to one of the problems, and I was like, I'm really having trouble like figuring this one out. Could you help me? And he pulls it up and he looks and he turns to the rest of the class. He's like, it's the easiest one.
Oh,
and just walks away. Does not explain it to me.
That's horrible.
And that's where it ended. Nothing. He didn't help you.
Yeah. No, I only would able if I had, if I could pick it up in a lecture, he would not. He would not
Eric,
deal with
it. Eric, you should have punched that man. I'm going to say it right now. You should have gone.
He was old too. He was very old.
You could have put him down.
It would have been like Will Smith punching Betty White. It would have been amazing.
Now, I'm not sure if I ever told this one, but me and some buddies were, speaking of principals, and I had a thing, I had a sort of a rivalry with this latest principal who was named Doctor, and I won't say his last name because it's weird, but he was like a doctor of music. So that's bullshit, right?
Can we call him Dr. Jazz, dude?
Doctor of music? Okay, what do you smoked more weed than me?
Huh? Think you're special,
boy.
And like, I would make fun of this guy all the time because he had a mole on his head, a big red mole. And teachers allowed me to do this because I was in my like little stinker phase.
Leave that phase?
He's working on it.
A larger stinker.
He's trying real hard.
I've been leaving little stinkers. Now I'm a huge stinker, you see. but it was this like puppet thing that I had that would talk whenever he would do like announcements and stuff. And like teachers were into this because they hated his guts too.
Oh man.
But, and I don't know if this is why he said it, because he went ape shit on me one time. Me and like four or five of my friends were tasked with moving like really heavy metal chairs around for some auditorium for some speech that was going to be given later in the day.
Uh-huh.
We're in eighth grade. We're like the oldest kids, you know, so that's what we did. And we move them all around and we move and we leave. And I mean, like we are in a hallway, a very heavy door is closed. And the second I walk, and I'm like 10 yards away from this very closed, very heavy door. And I say, "Ha, no tip, cheap bastard." And I mean,
cheap when this bastard,
absolutely. And this guy fucking he heard it somehow.
Oh no.
Plows through the door. And I mean, there's like classes going on everywhere. And he's like, "If you ever speak to any one of my staff ever again," and I'm just like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because again, the door was closed. He shouldn't have been able to hear it. Uh-huh. Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Catholic magic, you know?
Catholic magic, indeed.
I think he just had the place wired, dude.
Well, also, you know, right then and there, that guy's a terrible tipper, too.
We knew
you don't get set off like that just for nothing like that.
He probably heard it on like a nearby toilet cam he put in.
Picked up on my toilet cam feet.
just hearing something off of a toilet cam that you installed to look at little kids and then be like, "How dare you?"
If you ever listen to my toilet cams.
Oh my God.
Anybody else misunderstandings in and out of school?
Please. I mean, not a misunderstanding, you know. But there is this one time where this substitute teacher, God bless her, she was really trying, you know, and it was a real, like, she lost control of this class, like, almost immediately, like, really bad, and everybody was acting up, and it was totally nuts, and I was kind of just, like, sitting there, not participating, and she gives, like, this, she loses it, and she gives this whole thing about, like, you know, the disrespect that's going on here. Everybody has to sit down and meet. She does this like huge, huge speech, screaming at the top of her lungs. And everybody sits down and she goes, "Now that's better." And she sits down and like just slams into this chair so that like her fists hit the desk while she sat down.
Sure.
And a stacked thing of textbooks tipped over and like a bunch fell onto the floor and the room was dead silent except for me, who started laughing uproariously. Yeah. And she just goes, "Get the hell out of here." And that was literally the only time I got detention in high school.
I love how theatrical these teachers
get. Oh, totally.
Oh, man. So, okay. I should tell my story. So I think it must have been my freshman year, and it was English class, and we were reading Romeo and Juliet, and we're getting to the point where Shakespeare is pretty subtle about it, but Romeo and Juliet are having sex, you see.
Nice.
And she asks, like, it's not very clear in the text, clearly. And of course, the guys near me are she's like, "So what do we think he's talking about here?" And of course, the guys are like, "They're fucking." And like, I got friends near me who are just joking the hell up.
Wait a second.
You said that in class?
You said that.
Apologies.
In class.
I didn't go to public school. Is that allowed? Are you allowed to say they're fucking?
Well, that's,
depends on the teacher, I guess.
I'm getting to it.
Okay.
So this that happens. Another guy says something not quite as like they're getting it on or something to that effect. Not as like fucking.
Yeah.
And then me, I'm feeling a little confident. I'm feeling a little jazzed. I go like this very.
Now, for folks with audio only, Chris Cabin just illustrated where he made one of his hands into a hole, which that's Juliet, I presume.
Yeah.
And then Romeo is his other finger.
We're
going to go through this like the Zapruder film, frame by frame.
Yeah, no. William Shakespeare didn't have strap-ons because you do the S looked like an F back in the day.
Oh, right.
It's called a strap-on. Strap-on.
He probably had some wooden dildies.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, sure.
Totally. I don't know what the pronunciation on them were or anything, but anyway,
both back then.
So she's like, "Christopher, we're gonna have to talk after this."
Oh,
why was that
on
the one someone said they're fucking?
Well, so I go out after this is happening, and it's our lunch period, uh-huh. And she's like, "You understand that was a very inappropriate, thing to do in class, right?" And like, I don't know if I was just feeling bold that day. I'm like, "Yeah, but Mike said fucking." She's like, "It doesn't matter what Michael did," and she made a point. She was like, "Michael's a bad kid. You know what he's doing.
He's already a lost cause."
And I was like, "Oh well, fuck this person." And like every time she's like, "But do you understand why it's wrong?" I'm like, "But it doesn't really matter because Mike did that. You know, Steve said something back there," and then she's like, "You know what, Chris? I don't want to see you in class for the rest of the week."
Wow.
Rest of the week.
What so is that? Is that a suspension? Or is that like, what do you do?
She specifically not go into her class. I had her class two more times that week, and I was not to be in her class.
So did you go to a study hall? Put your head down on the desk?
That's what she gave me stuff. I had to go to the principal, and they're like, go to the hall for this. Yeah.
Did you put your head down on the desk?
No, I didn't have to do that. Okay. They weren't that draconian. But yeah, that's my story. Wasn't really a misunderstanding. We all understood each other.
Right. Right.
I was just being pissed on because Mike said fucking.
Oh, well, you excelled at language that day.
Quickly to your point, Andrew. To your point, Eric. I had a teacher who, and I've said this before, but I always love it because he's a teacher, made fun of me in front of the whole class because I had I had braces and it was a big thing and like, couldn't enunciate quite as well as everybody else. He'd call me Mr. Marbles because I also had a stuttering thing. That dude went to jail for trying to have sex with a 16-year-old girl. And nice. I'm just so thrilled that guy's life was ruined.
This is not the Pathmark guy you talked about recently. This is another criminal at your school. This is
at least two in my high school. At least two.
Catholic school, man.
Yeah.
Life likely was also, ruined.
Probably also a Pathmark customer, let's be honest here.
And he made fun of the other, to be clear, he made fun of the art teacher guy because he was gay and because he was like trying to have sex with male students. Not 10 years later, he's trying to AOL chat some 16-year-old girl. I guess that's quote unquote better. Nah, your life was ruined.
Do you remember any of his gay jokes he was tossing around?
No, it was just something about like he did like a hand stuff, if you know.
Oh, man. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
yeah.
What a fucking piece of shit. Fucking throw them in with the Hellfish Bonanza. I don't want to see them.
Not surprisingly, he was the wrestling coach and he was a piece of shit.
Wrestling coaches, I think they kind of have to be, unless the one listening to this. You're a good one.
You're the good one.
I'll take the next one here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Return to the Age Gap Love Files.
Oh, I love this.
Uh-oh. Hey, gang. I was recently re-listening to your Tarzan the Ape Man episode.
Wow. Oh, so you're the one.
I don't even remember doing that.
Oh, yeah, dude. I think that, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, the chat, but I think that one has the Horny History podcast as well.
It might, I believe so. Bo Derek is the lady, I think. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Little movie with nothing going on in it.
This person says, and your bit on age gap lovers reminded me of a story that might be a fun mailbag read. Well, I think we'll be the judge of that. all right. Oh, this looks.
You know what? It's already getting an F for me.
Oh, shit. All right.
Sorry.
It was the after party for my sister's college graduation with members of our family and her roommate's family celebrating in a small dorm space to avoid the torrential downpour outside. You know what? Then it's just canceled. Everybody go home.
Go to a Pizza Hut. Go to a Domino's.
There's always going to be a Pizza Hut. Yep. Domino's dining room.
Just hang out in the lobby. I mean, it's got to be better than, I mean, at least there's pizza there.
Yeah.
I think those
drivers.
I bus station, dude.
What? Those Domino's drivers have probably got interesting stories.
Chris is right, though. At the end of the day, at least there's pizza there.
I mean, come on. Think it through.
We had met her roommate's parents before and were friendly enough with them to hear stories of the roommate's grandmother, Mimi, who we were meeting for the first time that night. To her daughter's dismay, Mimi had recently been partnered with Ingmar, a Swedish man who was at least 30 years her junior.
Way to go, Mimi.
That's awesome.
Her young paramour seemed to be a walking Scandinavian stereotype as well.
I don't know what that is.
Well, who had taken his girlfriend's family to a romantic lunch at IKEA.
Mm.
Is that what Scandinavians do?
I guess Scandinavian stereotype. I think they wear Hugo Boss.
Well, like eating at IKEA's got to be like, I don't know, like Subway over there.
You got the Swedish meatball thing, you know.
Okay.
You think they just call them meatballs over there?
I would hope so.
You know, it's meatball. The little differences.
blah, blah, blah. The worst thing about Mimi and Ingmar was that I knew I'd eventually be told to talk with Ingmar. I had traveled to Sweden a few years earlier, so we had the mutual experience of visiting the Arlanda airport. I heard the damning sentence. Oh, she's been to Sweden. From my mother, who waved me over to speak with the awkward Swede. Like, come on, mom.
And then immediately the first thing Ingmar was like, you know, in my country, they're actually called Meatball Royale.
While Ingmar seemed happy to have someone to talk to, he also was less than impressed that my journey to Sweden was mostly spent visiting friends in, apologies in advance, Harnösand.
Sure.
Rather than touring Stockholm. He tried to impress me by showing me a Pong adjacent phone game that his son was working on and tried to add me as a Facebook friend but couldn't find me.
I have so many questions about what Pong adjacent means.
Yeah.
What does that mean? We get nothing. I'm reading forward. We got nothing, but goddamn.
After speaking to Ingmar, I was whisked away by Mimi. I don't know what kind of drinks we snuck into the dorms that night, but Mimi had made her way through them and was beyond having any social filter. I'll never forget what she said to me. Your mom needs to be careful. I was confused. Of what? I asked. Of old women like me. Your dad's a real hottie.
Ew.
That's awesome. She's going to fuck the dad, too.
Totally.
I'm going to fuck your father, you understand.
Get ready.
Fucked them all, of course.
I squirm out of the conversation because I have no idea how I should be reacting.
Nope.
After the party, I told my dad about what she said, and he just sheepishly reacted and said he didn't notice her making any passes at it.
Did you get Mimi's phone number or anything? Did you happen to know where Mimi's hanging out today?
You know what, Dad? Just
after the party, I made my dad's fucking week is what you did.
Yeah, totally.
You can get Mimi's number off the restroom wall if you're interested, Pops.
Actually, the funny thing is I know I got a good idea where she is. They say, Mimi is no longer with us. And I have no idea what happened to Ingmar.
Shit. Well, pour one out of your dick tonight on the ground for our fallen Mimi.
For Mimi.
But I will never forget that awkward graduation party where an octogenarian told me that she could potentially steal my dad away from my mom. Thanks for the laughs. Wow. Annalise from Philly. Oh, man.
So that Swedish guy was a geezer pleaser, huh?
Yeah, dude. Totally.
Dude, that guy must have made away with all of Mimi's money. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's
why, good for him.
Mimi was buried in like a totally like a faceless pine box.
The AARP swindler.
If Mimi was smart, she would have gotten it so that Ingmar was buried with her. That's like a truly royal thing to do.
That's true.
Have your young lover buried with you.
I don't believe we have a second season of Age Gap Glovers, but I'd really kind of love one, right? Oh, I would like to go back and just sort of
see. They didn't do more? Those fucking perverts in Great Britain?
Well, you know what I think would be good, Steve, is not necessarily a season two per se, but a check-in.
Oh man, check-ins! You're driving to the graveyard. It's been a decade.
Yeah. Has it really been that long since that show aired?
I don't know.
But,
yeah,
but I want to know what new person the young person is fucking. You know what new old person?
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What geezer are they pleasing this week?
Call the show new old person.
You can't. I mean, yeah, you can't have enough content. Just bring some. Just basic. Have it set it at the graveyard. Do the work early. Just have it there to begin with. You don't got to go far.
Oh, my God.
Wow. So I think now that we're coming up to what, our last letter?
Last one. Yeah.
Last letter.
Well, that thing, I think that means someone's going to have to tell the good folks at home about the tour.
Oh, you don't say, Eric.
Yeah, it's Chris. Chris, why don't you take that away?
I will do just that, Eric. Excellent. On April 24th, we are going to be at Laugh Boston talking about a movie that I don't remember, called Escape Plan, that stars Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. On April 26th, we are going to be at, what is the name of the place? That's DC Improv.
That is.
And we are going to be doing Stop, or My Mom Will Shoot, another film I do not remember at all. But this one stars Sylvester Stallone and the late Estelle Getty?
She's been dead for years. Oh,
well, pour one out of your dick tonight.
Another dick pour for Estelle Getty. April 27th, we will be at the Punchline Philly, where you can pour your dicks out while we watch or talk about Rocky V.
Yeah.
That is going to be, yes, again, April 27th. We're going to be tickets at whmpodcast.com.
That's right.
/tour, if you want to do tour. It.
Right, or hit that tour tab, and we promise to be filthier.
Even more
at
so.
The shows.
More dick pours. Many more dick pours.
This, we're holding back in a big way.
Oh, some of us are. All right, Chris Cavan, finish the evening. We got one more.
All right, last one. Ride the Zipper. Hello, gang. Oh, this is the one that I need a picture for at some point, Eric.
I got
Andrew,
it.
Sorry.
I'm at the ready.
Okay. Hello, gang. Upon listening to January's Animation Damnation episode, Lil Ellen, which, by the way, we're sorry, it's a kids show.
Man,
they're all
really
kids
got,
shows.
But no, but we got baby, fooled by like, that yeah, one, yeah, though.
That's a baby show.
Yeah.
Steven asked if anyone ever yacked at an amusement park. So this is your fault, Steve. I'm just putting this one on
sure.
you. I was suddenly reminded of a horrific memory I have from high school. During my teenage summers, I would have high school football practice, but for 2 weeks in August.
Yeah, the right double sessions. That right, was fucking torture.
Right before the school year started, there were hell weeks.
Yep.
This is where we had two practices per day from 7 a.m. until 3 p.m. One especially hot day, I threw up twice at practice.
Been there. Definitely have done that.
Is that, I guess, is that just normal? Like, you always do it? Like, everybody does it at some point?
What, throw up?
Throw up if you're playing sports.
Have like you never thrown up before, Chris?
During sports, no.
It's not like super common, but when you're in like the dead hot, especially like a muggy ass upstate New York. Oh, yeah.
Well, sure.
August, you know, it's just brutal. And I just one day. Yeah, it is. It's exactly like this person is saying. It was like 7 a.m. You got fucking started. You did two practice sessions with like a break time in between. And I just wasn't hydrating well one day. Just totally fucking vomited in the second session. Yeah. Like after probably a big lunch, like bigger than would be recommended for practicing football all day.
And that's the reason you never be athletic, kids, ever.
Served me well.
That night, my girlfriend at the time and I went to the amusement park at Clifton Field. We had a fun time with friends and ate some overpriced shitty nachos and funnel cake. I know where this is going. Immediately after eating, my girlfriend wanted to ride the biggest ride in the park, the Zipper. A Ferris wheel-like contraption that would seal two people in a metal coffin and spin the individual cage back and forth as the entire oblong death trap would go forward and backwards. Kind of looks like a chainsaw from afar. There's a picture attached.
Okay, yeah.
Get ready for this fucking
shit. They sent a photo. Now, folks listening on audio, you're going to want to go to youtube.com. Yeah. We hate movies to see this.
No way.
It's a big long thing with a bunch of like baskets around it.
Wow, this
baskets
guy
are filled with people.
This guy takes photos for shutterstock.com.
I don't believe that he does.
Oh, he just found the photo of the ride.
Yeah, yes, I think.
God. Yeah, no, I just looking at that, I recognize what those baskets do. Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh,
they go roundy round.
Yeah,
they go like flip faster, and then the whole entire contraption is slowly rotating. Yeah, it's fucking
why
brutal.
Do that when you can get just blackout drunk until your brain is doing that?
Yes.
High school. Well, I mean, I guess illegally you can do it, but yes.
Yeah.
One not of my so favorite, easily.
Unrelated, but one of my favorite someone drunk stories is in college. Me and my buddy Jack were walking home from working at the radio station, the college radio station that night, and Steve was just wandering through the parking lot. And he's like, they're after me. Or there's people behind me. They're after me. So it's like, have a good night, Steve.
Is that it? That's the whole thing?
No, and then what was crazy was Eric looked to our friend and he goes, you see that dude? That guy's a fucking legend.
Yeah, pretty much. The thing, there was no taking you down at that moment. I couldn't stop whatever you were up to.
I had a thing in college where I would get very drunk and pretty much blackout drunk and then just go walking and
he'd
like,
leave. It would just be one of those like, oh, who left the door open? Steve got out.
Yes. It was like a Batman thing. You'd be like, well, that'd be pretty weird if Steve. And I was already gone. And yeah, that's those adventures were never good. So
but it was a good night for it that night. It was very crisp. It was nice night for a drunk walk.
Yeah. You always shook my tracers too, every time. Right off. We went on, and within 5 seconds of the ride starting, I felt an all too familiar urge in my stomach. I opened my shirt to try to contain barf. To myself.
So barfing into the shirt?
It sounds like a good idea.
Also, though, I love... But the detail, though, of I opened my shirt. So this person is wearing a button-down shirt on a ride where they are slowly, or I guess quickly, unbuttoning.
My man's on a date, dude. He's trying to look good.
Ugh, brutal. No, this is brutal.
I don't
this
think it's going to work out. I really don't think
it's
so.
It's really rough.
I opened my shirt to try to contain my barf to myself, but with the ride spinning up and down, left and right, that pile, the puke went everywhere and all over my girlfriend, too.
Oh.
My shirt was ruined.
Least of your problems.
Yeah, as of the night. Everyone in the vicinity was laughing at us except our friends. She broke up with me the next day.
Well, of course, man, she did.
There's no coming back. There ain't no coming back.
You know what? This is a real deal. We Ate Movies mailbag. We've got fucking vomit stories. We used to always get these. I love these.
Yeah, it's been a while. Ones for next time.
Just for a video's sake, that is my good friend David Patrick Kelly from The Crow when he's about to die, and Brendan Lee snaps him into his car and he goes, "There ain't no coming back. There ain't no coming back. There ain't no coming back." And he goes right in through it. That's you vomiting on your girlfriend at a ride. Yep. That's how that works. There ain't no coming back.
Yeah, you're gonna have to just find someone.
That's what happened that night. That's what The Crow's flashing back to is the night he barked on his girlfriend. They didn't really do anything. They were just really rude. And then he barked on his girlfriend. Here's the vomit night,
my new favorite holiday.
Yeah, he wasn't constantly hung up on when he was murdered. No, it was that time he threw up on his girlfriend.
He buried himself afterwards.
Not get over it.
That concludes my yakking at the amusement park story. I just wanted to thank you guys for being a silver lining during this pandemic. Keep up the great work. Dan from Philly. Dan, hopefully we'll see you in Philly when we're there on the 27th.
Right. Yes. There are some tickets available for you, Dan. If you go to whmpodcast.com now, we'll be at the Punchline Philly. Great little venue. We're going to have a lot of fun talking Rocky Five.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do a couple of minutes just answer some cues?
Yes, people.
Yeah, totally.
Ask some questions. In the meantime, you're going to want to come to Washington, D.C. on April 26th to see that podcast, that live show on Stop or My Mom Will Shoot at the D.C. Improv. And of course, April 24th in Boston, Massachusetts with Escape Plan 2013 at Laugh Boston. It's funny, out of all those three movies, Escape Plan might be the least
well-known.
Relevant. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
But it's the nudist.
But it has five sequels or whatever the fuck. Maybe I'm wrong.
It spawned a franchise. Okay, here's one. Keeping on the thing of these fucking crazy amusement park rides, what would we prefer to vomit on? The Gravitron or the Zipper?
No, the Gravitron's the one where you spin, you stick to the wall, right?
You're communal, so you'll be vomiting on everyone on the ride. But this Zipper looks like it's you could just maybe get some vomit splashing into your chamber.
Yeah, your little basket.
I'd rather vomit on a stranger than my girlfriend, that's for sure.
Right.
Well, she's gonna get it too, though.
Yeah,
oh, she'll get it too.
Yeah.
There's no saving that.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I feel like amusement park rides like that are pre-nacho situations.
Yeah.
So like that dude, he should have tapped out or they should have eaten later. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Nachos. I mean, even if I had good nachos, I think I would be vomiting in that little thing.
Nachos always sounds fun. But folks, you're going to want to wait till you're married for 3 years at minimum.
Sure.
Because there's not enough bread in this scenario. Like a cheeseburger at the very least, like there's almost an even amount of bread to cheese and meat ratio. Right. Nachos, it's all over the place.
Here we go. 2022 movie yet to come out that we're most looking forward to.
I think Steve, you got the answer for this.
It's Morbius, baby. Michael Morbius. Nice. No, I really think it's going to be really specifically not so good. You know, it's funny. I have no feeling for what the rest of this movie year is going to be. Aside from the Morbius movie, that's kind of I've always been assuming like the day after I see Morbius, I'll die.
Yeah.
So.
Good, because that's when you're supposed to record the episode.
I will say one. I'll say two. July 22nd is the new Jordan Peele. Nope.
Yes, that's good.
So I'm looking forward to that. And I think it's October 7th of this year, because Steve, you were talking about like garbage Spider-Man things. I'll mention a good Spider-Man thing, like the sequel to Spider-Verse is coming. Cool. It's called like Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 or something. I fucking love that first movie, man. The animation's so incredible.
Yeah.
Let's see if they stick that landing on the sequel or not.
I would really like them to. The Northman comes out very soon. Yes. I'm looking forward to that. Wes Anderson's supposed to have another movie ready to go by.
Is that real? Wow.
Yeah, okay. Asteroid City is supposed to be out by Christmas. They want it to be at least.
Oh, interesting.
And I also just read that Cronenberg just finished editing his new movie. Wow. And it's supposed to be at Cannes. So hopefully if that's out by the end of the year, I will definitely.
Crimes of the Future or whatever it's called.
Yep. It's him and Vigo again, right?
Yes, indeed. And Leo Sado.
Ooh, Vigo.
Yeah. Oh, Leo Sado's in it too?
Yep. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah. I like that. Along the lines of 2022 movies, maybe we should reference this for just a minute because we've been getting a ton of asks about an on-screen that's not going to happen. But what did everyone think of the Batman?
I loved it. I mean, it might be our 2022 WLM January. It's very possible. It's definitely in pole position. It's great. I think it's a little too long, but there's no like one sequence I would take away from it. I'd like it just to be a little less than.
I would cut like a minute out of every scene.
Exactly. I think that's kind of.
I think it's a great movie, but it is pretty long. I felt the runtime, but I did enjoy it.
I truly, truly enjoyed it. I've seen it twice in theaters. I have zero problem with the length. Like I just appreciated that world that Matt Reeves builds like so much that I could totally sit in. It's the exact speed of Batman that I like reading. And you know, it also gave me a lot of vibes of animated series. Like he's a fucking detective in this movie. Yeah. And it's like a crime. I don't know. It just like, it felt like a Batman movie made specifically for me.
Yeah, it's good. My general feeling is it's good.
I love the opening where he's like just like watching people with binoculars going, because this is what I do during the week.
From that very chair, too.
Two things I really love because we've had a total slog of them recently, which is like trailer with a really cool song in it that you don't see in the movie. The trailer had the Nirvana Something in the Way song, and that's like thematic for the movie. They play it twice and it means something in the beginning, it means something very different at the end.
Yep.
It's really cool to have that not just be a marketing ploy and actually matter. Secondarily, I will say, because it's making the rounds this week, that deleted Joker scene, thank God that was deleted, because it ain't good.
No,
I mean, Barry Keoghan could be very good as a Joker, but that's just, it's just like almost like an improv scene. Like, all right, let's do Manhunter for 5 minutes. Okay, go. And it's like, it's almost exactly beat for beat Manhunter. And like, no, thank you.
But that's I'm glad he cut it out for sure. I wouldn't want any more of that in it. I think actually Barry Keoghan at the end of the movie as it is works really well. It's really chilling. And like,
agreed.
And I'm glad that, but why he did it, it's because that's the scene they always wanted to do with Ledger. That was what they always talked about doing with Ledger, was that he was going to do a Hannibal Lecter Lecter in Manhunter scene where Batman goes to see him and asks him, what do you think of this guy?
I gotta tell you, I really liked it.
All right.
It was cool. But here's the thing. It definitely should not have been in the movie.
Yes.
I completely agree with that, because
I'm so tired of it.
It puts it on a level though where it's telling you like he's not the most important thing in this universe. Cause like you don't see him getting captured. It's never gonna be a focal point of this world, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yep.
You know, like they'll do whatever with him. But the part of it I did like, you know, is where he says like, it's something about like, you know, deep down, like you don't want to solve this because you agree with him. You agree with what he's doing because you feel that those guys deserved it. And like Batman stops and it's kind of, you can totally see Pattinson being like, fuck, he's kind of right. You know what I mean? It's a pretty cool moment.
That's fair.
I just wish it was Mr. Freeze or something.
We'll see. We shall see.
Yeah, you never know. Let's see. Maybe like one or two more.
Yeah,
sure.
This one, I guess, maybe directed right at Chris Cabin. how surprised were we by this year's Farinas?
Actually, I mean, like, I'll be honest, I was having a hard time focusing because of what had just happened.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like on buzz. I was just like, all right, focus, focus.
Betty
focus.
White almost got Farina'd on stage. Oh, wait, Chris Rock. I forgot. That, it's that not a frail 90-year-old woman. Whatever fucking deranged shit going on Twitter.
The thing is the fucking memoriam segment was horrible. Like,
awful.
You couldn't see the fucking names. You couldn't see them. There was all this fucking shit happening in front of it.
Norm and Saget both got Farina.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yep.
But and I mean, Asner.
That's and a just, big one.
One last thing about the Will Smith thing. Whatever you think about it, the move should have been, and I mean, think about the shittiest, rowdiest bar you've ever been in.
Right.
Somebody slaps someone else, they get asked to leave. Like, that's the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah.
He should have been, and like, he shouldn't lose his Oscar. He just should have been asked to leave right immediately. He doesn't do any press. He doesn't give his speech. And that's it. And that's like the punishment. And it solves everything. But the Academy bungled the shit out of it.
What's ironic about it, too, is he won the Oscar for getting his ass kicked in that movie, King Richard. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I didn't see it. Yeah.
He gets punch up, him and thrown to the ground.
Yeah, he gets beat up several times.
I thought it was marketing for the movie or something.
All right. So along those lines, this is the last question of the evening. Someone asks the worst non-slap related moment from the Academy Awards.
Ooh, it's tough. I full disclosure, I didn't see the Oscars. I wasn't being snotty. We just had concert tickets.
You were a little snotty.
To be fair, no, we just so happened to have tickets, and I was kind of actually thrilled to not watch it, but that's where I'm at. So,
okay, here's
don't own a television. I don't know if you guys
He lives inside of a book as well.
God damn, what a life!
I do own a television. Anyone else?
Okay, I always hated that don't own a television.
I know, it's a fuck like, you, dude.
Those people are perverts.
Put your head in an oven.
So what was I? Oh, so the fucking Godfather thing, that was absolutely pointless. 115% pointless. And also, like, I guess because it was, you know, the only guy who was available. But like, you're honoring the 50th anniversary of the Godfather. Robert De Niro had no business being there. And neither he or Pacino said anything. It was the dumbest fucking thing. And it's like, I couldn't see Denzel Washington gives Samuel L. Jackson a fucking Academy Award because that jerk off shit had to happen. Come on.
Yeah.
Man.
Also, like, you couldn't see that because we had to have sports fellas tell us that James Bond is cool.
Dude, Bond thing. What are we doing with the Bond? I couldn't see Elaine May because someone had to remind me that James Bond exists.
Also, the opening of the Oscars felt like the opening of SNL or something. It's just showing all the celebrities that are coming up. It was an awful ceremony.
It was really bad. I think that's kind of my whole thing. Like, the In Memoriam would be my pick because I thought it was just a disaster. Yeah. It was just not directed well. It wasn't staged well. They literally fucked up everything they could fuck up, which is almost impressive in a way. But like, like, it was just the whole thing. There was no sense of ceremony. It was like you waited till the last minute to pick three hosts. Regina Hall was working her fucking ass off.
Yeah.
And like, Amy Schumer was like, just whatever. Like, I kind of just was annoyed most of the time.
Wanda Sykes was fine.
Sykes was fine, but like,
Wanda Sykes should have just hosted the thing because she's earned it. You know,
I don't know why there had to be three people.
There shouldn't have been three people. There should have been just been one
Wanda
person
doing Wanda, and that would have been great.
But it's just like nobody wanted to make it. I feel like there were so many decisions that just were not made. So they were just like, let's get all the people we were thinking of again to host it. And therefore, we don't have to make any decisions.
Yep.
Do you think that they accidentally just offered it to all three of them at the same time? And they all enthusiastically were like, yes. And then they were like, oh,
that's a best case scenario, honestly.
Oh, all right, folks. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the We Hate Movies Mailbag. Thanks a lot for tuning in, whether live right now or in audio form later. Catch us on tour. We got some dates in late April. WHMpodcast.com. Click on that tour tab for all that information. Tickets are on sale now. And what the hell? Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Everybody, a lot of extra content on there.
as well. But that's it. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.
Got to salute like Robert Redford.
Salute correctly.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.